How is your walk with God? Is that a fair question? How is your walk with God? You know, we're living in such a complex and diverse society that people are so confused with just the smallest issues. And people today are not so caught up with the big problems in life, but sometimes are overcome with the smallest minute details. It seems it's the small things that get people in trouble or overtake them. In Song of Solomon's word, 2:15, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Dear ones, I say the enemy is out to rob us of this glorious salvation that we possess this evening. Amen. If he could just get us to develop an attitude toward the message, get our eyes on people, and deceiving our minds and thinking that it's not that bad living back in sin, I don't care what it is, he has a foot in the door. Now listen, don't ever engage the thought of going back into sin. Amen. First of all, there's nothing back there. There's nothing back there but deception. There's nothing back there except darkness. Amen. I've never, ever seen anybody who's come to me and told me, I am so glad I went back in sin. That's a terrible statement. Amen. If anyone makes that type of statement, they're deceived. Amen. I love this way. I love this way of salvation. First of all, it's the right way. There's no other way to live. And I'm thankful for that this evening. Amen. Now, we need to take an account of our own walk with God. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be concerned about others. But the devil will get us to dwell on someone else's problems instead of looking at the needs in ourselves first. Amen. Too many want to pass the blame on to others to let them know that they aren't satisfied. I say tonight, dear one, it's vitally important that we check our spiritual condition each and every day. Would you agree? Amen. In Joel, the second chapter, picking up with the 12th through the 13th verses, if you'd read with me, Joel, the second chapter, beginning with verses 12 through 13. It says, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. I say it's so important to follow God's way tonight. There are so many people out here that want you to go a different way, but I don't want to go a different way. If it's not led by the Spirit of God, I don't want to go that way. Amen. We need to ask God what is best for our lives. Amen. It's vitally important, saints. I know the devil is out to deceive tonight. He's there to take away our salvation. He wants to rob us of our peace. He wants to rob us of our joy. Amen. I'm happy going this way, aren't you? Amen. I don't want anything to hinder my walk with God tonight. Amen. If you aren't careful, there's going to be circumstances and situations and other things that can and will creep in to have you question the Word of God. Yes, there is. Not only the Word of God, but there'll be things that want to creep in to start questioning the man of God. He'll start wanting to question your brothers and your sisters. You name it. The devil has ways to try to deceive us in every area of our lives. Amen. Then when we do that, when we start listening to the enemy, we can easily be subjected to something defined as spiritual flame out. Dear ones, we need to be on fire with God. This is not a day and age to be spiritually flaming out on the things of God. We're living in a wicked world, are we not? Come on now. This shooting we just had out here in Thousand Oaks, California. Amen. Those people were out there dancing at some sort of a bar or a grill. What a place to be taken out into eternity, as Brother Decker said this morning. And not only was there one person in that crowd who the Lord spared of that Las Vegas shooting, he just happened to be there at that bar that night, and he was taken out. I believe the Lord gave that individual a space of time for him to start weighing his soul. And he failed to do it. Listen, friend, you don't have to be some far out in some far state somewhere. What happened out in Thousand Oaks, California could be right happening right here. Come on, a wicked world in which we're living. People are so possessed by demons, so many evil spirits, that they can lash out, and you could be eating a McDonald's and be taken out. Come on, just because we live in this area, don't think that couldn't happen. It could happen anywhere. Amen. But listen, I don't know, but I think one of the greatest fears that a jet pilot would have would be to experience a flame out in one of his engines. Now, I did a little research on the internet about engine flame outs. It stated that the biggest danger possessed by forms of precipitation like rain, snow, ice, or fog is causing engine flame out. Now, flame out is defined as a loss of engine power that is not caused by mechanical failure. Three things that a jet engine needs to operate are fuel, air, and a source of heat. Thank God for the heat of the word. Amen. Thank the Lord for the heat of the word tonight. Amen. Loss of any of those three things can result in a flame out. Saints of God, we don't want to be in a position tonight to experience spiritual flame out. If we're ever going to be on fire with God, it needs to be in the day in which we're living. Amen. You see, the enemy would just love to snuff us out tonight. He would love for us to cool off on the message. Hello? He'd love for us to cool off on the standard of God's word. The pastor, the ones in the congregation. We need that fuel source. We need the word of God, saints. And not only do we need the word of God, we need the spirit of God. Amen. We need the true word of God to help us face the adversities in our lives. We just came through an election. Some of the election results weren't very good. But I thank the Lord that he is in control of the government. He knows what's best for the people of God. That's why we need to stay close to God. We don't know what's heading our way. Amen. We don't know what's out here ahead of us. But I just know we need to be prepared to face the enemy. Amen. I know that the Lord wants his people hot. Brother Decker read it this morning. It needs to be repeated. Revelation, the third chapter, 13th through the 16th verses. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Our pastor read that this morning. God hates lukewarmness. And we as the people of God need to be on our guard for the threat of lukewarmness. We just came out of a beautiful revival effort. Don't just let the revival effort come and go. Let's have revival continue in our hearts. Brother Watson preached some beautiful messages. Let's go ahead and use those messages with our walk with God. Listen, dear ones, the Lord wants true worship tonight. He doesn't want false worship. He knows if your heart truly desires to be in the house of God. I love being in the house of God. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else on a Sunday or a Wednesday night. If I want to be, I want to be in the house of God. Amen. Your desire, you want to be where God's people are. You want to be where the Word of God is preached. You want to be where the Spirit of God is moving in the services. Church of God, tonight we are blessed to have the Spirit of God. Away with this cold religious attitude out here that just gather in and listen to a sermonette for 15, 20 minutes. I'm thankful we can come and hear where the Word of God is preached. Amen. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to be in a situation where you have to have like a program. That's a form of worship. I want to be where the Spirit of God is leading throughout the service. Amen. We just can't pretend or try to convince God any other way. He knows us for what we truly are this evening. Amen. Continuing on the article on flameouts, it said the majority of storms produce light rain or snow that has little, if any, impact on an engine. In general, only very intense storms affect engine behavior. An aircraft will usually make a detour to avoid them. Thank God. Sometimes he'll let us go through the storm, and sometimes he can direct us away from the storm. That's how God acts. That's how he performs. Amen. He puts us through the storm sometimes just to see how we're going to react through the storm. And he wants to see what you are like coming out of the storm. Amen. But the fear, however, is turbulence. You ever been on an airplane with turbulence? It's not a very pleasant feeling when you're on that plane. That thing's bouncing around all over the place. And the pilot really doesn't know what he could do. He might try to go up, he might try to go down or around, whatever. But you're in that airplane and you're in that seat and you're just bouncing all over the place. Thinking, Lord, get me on the ground as soon as possible. But turbulence can produce a very uncomfortable ride rather than engine performance problems. But thank God, he can ride us through the storms. He can be there with us through the strongest storm tonight. And any turbulence that we might go through, thank God, he can be there with us. Amen. We know we're going to face those storms. Have you faced a storm this week? Sister Cummings has. She's faced several storms this week. But if you're living for God, you're going to face storms. Amen. What's your condition as you go into the storm, and what's your condition when you come out of the storm? Amen. Now, some of those areas of our life are not going to be pleasant. But we must know that the Lord will bring us through victoriously. Even though trials and tribulations are all around us, we must seek the Savior's face first. Amen. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Matthew, the 14th chapter, beginning with the 22nd verse. Matthew 14, 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it thou bid, come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of truth, thou art the Son of God. He could be with you through the storm. Amen. No matter how violent the storm is, God can be with you. But the main thing is, don't get your eyes off of Jesus. Amen. Why do so many people sink? They get their eyes off Jesus. And not only should you get your eyes focused on the goal, next thing, get your eyes off of people. The Lord is going to be your source of power, not people. People can fail you. People can go against you. But thank God Jesus never fails. As we read in those scriptures, we are reminded what happens to an individual when they do get their eyes off Christ. It also gives us a picture of what could happen to individuals when they start to do things in their own strength. Listen, folks, we can't do this in our own strength. Amen. We can't do anything without God. Amen. I don't care how strong you think you are. We are nothing without God. Listen, dear one, we dare not think we could do this thing of living for the Lord in our own strength. But we must have the Lord help us, direct us, guide us, and lead us in all areas of our lives. Amen. You know, there's many instances in the Bible when ones go down spiritually. And let me just put this right here. Don't ever think about going back to sin. Do you know what that does? That affects others. Come on now. Well, it's no one's business what I do. Yes, it is. It's God's business, because what you're doing, you could be affecting other people. Amen. By them looking at your life and trying to look at how you're doing, and when you go back into sin, that could get them so discouraged and disappointed that they might do the very same thing. Amen. Stay focused. Stay strong. Stay where the truth is. Be in the house of God at all times. Amen. Back the man of God with your amens and your hand waving. Amen. And praising God for all he's done. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Give the Lord some praise. Let him know how much you enjoy the truth being preached here. Amen. Amen. It's vitally important that we say something, do something in the house of God, just not come and sit like a frog on a log. Come on, get involved. It's a time to get involved with the things of God. Amen. Am I wrong on that statement? No, it's time to get involved. Let me just say this. The world gets involved with their agenda. Why can't the people of God get involved with their agenda? Amen. In a day in which we live, there are so many things going on around us that our faith in our Lord and Savior has to be stronger than it ever was. Amen. With all the distractions, and there are a lot of distractions going on today that will go around in this old world that the enemy would just get us so easily wrapped up with it that we really don't care what the Lord has to say to us. But it's vitally important that we listen to that still, small voice. Amen. Too many people can't hear that voice. Really, the reason they don't know who that voice is coming from, because it's been so long since they've heard that voice. They'll hear other voices, but it's not the voice of God. Amen. Saints of God, the devil wants us to go dead spiritually. Amen. He wants you to unplug what you've got plugged into and just let your spiritual batteries go dead. But it's not a time for those batteries to go dead. You need to check those batteries each and every day to make sure that they're charged 100% max. We don't want to have spiritual flame out. Amen. You know, and I know, things don't operate the way they work with weak batteries. I've said this once before. My garage door opener. Man, I was sitting in front of the garage door and I was pushing that thing. Why doesn't this thing work? I was pushing it, putting it behind my back, putting it behind my head, putting it under my arm, backing up in the car, trying to push it at the door. It wouldn't work. I said, then this thing must be broken. No, it wasn't. It just needed a new battery. So I went in the house, got a new battery, put in it. I was sitting at the kitchen table. I said, well, won't this thing work? Up goes the garage door. I wasn't even pointing it at the garage door. I needed a new battery. Sometimes we need to check our spiritual batteries to see where they're at. Hey, man, do you enjoy the services like you always did? Do you love being in the house of God like you always wanted to be in the house of God? Do you love being around the people of God like you've always wanted to be around the people of God? Amen. If you said no to any of that, you need to check your spiritual batteries. Amen. But it's vitally important. We need to take a look at ourselves. Sometimes a preventive maintenance check, so to speak, to check if there's anything in our life that could drag us down spiritually. Amen. But as I was getting back, many instances in the Bible where ones go down spiritually and how it does affect others. You cannot go unnoticed. First of all, your countenance will show. What's the first thing you see when somebody is going weak spiritually? Their countenance. Their facial expressions. They don't seem to enjoy the services like they used to. They sit there with a frown instead of a smile. Do you know it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile? I think it said 22 more muscles to frown than it does to smile. So you might as well just go ahead and smile because you're going to wear yourself out frowning. Amen. But you can't go unnoticed. Things will appear. Amen. However, there are ones in the Bible that had a very godly influence. The Bible is full of ones who had godly influences. First of all, I'm thinking about Daniel. Daniel had a godly influence. And Daniel had the rare opportunity to influence several kings and to influence their kingdoms with godly principles. Now, are we any different than Daniel? Was Daniel human? Yes. We're human. Yes. Daniel had God with him. Yes. Can we have God with us? Yes. We can influence other people to a greater degree than what we're doing, I feel. Staying true to God often meant putting himself in danger. Yes, it did. But Daniel never once wavered. Listen to me. Daniel never once wavered in his convictions. The record of Daniel's life shows us what is necessary to have a godly impact on others. And let me stop right here. Are you having a godly impact on your family? Come on now. Are you having a godly impact on your community? Hello? What's getting quiet? Hello? Are you having a godly impact on your co-workers? Do your co-workers know that you're a child of God? Not just because you go to church somewhere, but can your life radiate to let them know that you're a true child of God? Or are they going to make a comment, well, I know where they are at. They sure don't act like a child of God for what conversations I heard coming out of their mouth. That shouldn't be. You should have a same standard here as you do out in the world. Amen. As our pastor said, you should dress the same here as you do out in the world. You don't have two different dress standards. Come on now. You wonder why the people are sick of religion? Because a lot of times they see how people want to lead a double life. It's the same here, it's the same out in the world. Your conversation is clean. Your actions are clean. You don't tell those dirty jokes out in the world. Amen. Come on now, you don't tell those off-color jokes out in the world. Right. Oh, Brother Sesher, I'm saved. I want to do all what the Lord has me to do. I want to be right where He has me to be. But then you let down on certain things. You let down on this. You let down on that. You let down over here, let there. The Lord's not going to use you if you're not faithful. And you've got to be faithful in the little things. You're not going to be used if you are not faithful in the little things. Come on now. Daniel, he had a godly impact on the people he came in contact with. Does your neighbors and your coworkers really know where and how you stand? Daniel had complete confidence in the Lord's ability to protect and provide for him to make bold decisions. And let's face it, Daniel had bold decisions to make. Now, how would you like to be Daniel to deliver bad news to kings? A king back then didn't want to hear bad news. Off for your head. But Daniel was faithful. Daniel wasn't going to tell him something different than what God had instructed him to do. Daniel was up front. He wanted to be up front with them. Daniel wanted to be that witness to those kings. He delivered that bad news to kings, an act that could have gotten him killed. If you read Daniel 2, 26, 44 and Daniel 5, 17, 28, Daniel even defiantly challenged a law requiring him to worship other gods. He refused to worship the gods. Daniel 6, 7 through 11. But let's face it, there's sometimes as a child of God, you have to stand up. Stand up for what's right. Stand up for the truth. If we're ever going to be Church of God, we need to be Church of God today. We got to be a witness to the world. We don't know how much time we have left on this earth, but I just know that we need to get busy and get at it. Amen. Daniel wasn't concerned about being popular. Daniel was concerned about being honest, being up front, doing exactly the Lord's will. And Daniel was committed to doing what was right in the eyes of God. And that's where we need to be, saints. How are we in the sight of the eyes of God? And when Daniel had to face adverse consequences for choosing the unpopular course of action, he didn't do it defiantly. He didn't say, oh, do I have to do that? Oh, God, give me a little break. But he did it with a calm and a humble spirit. Where does that put some of us when God wants us to do something? Come on now. Let me ask you a question. Do you get stirred up if God asks you to do something? Well, Lord, you know I had this plan. I want to go here. Are you ready to have God interrupt your schedule? Come on now. I'm just asking a question. Is that a fair question? Come on now. We want to be of God. We want to do God's will. But can God interrupt our schedule? I'll go on. But it was a calm and humble spirit that Daniel possessed. And what an example we have before us. Daniel offered no complaint, and Daniel accepted of being a place in the den of lions. Think of that. You ever face a den of lions at work? Not the furry things with the tails and the big manes, but a lion spirit that wants to devour you. Oh, where do you go to church? Oh, you're really a saint of God, huh? Come on now. Why do you go to church so much? Come on now. Why do you dress the way you dress? Could that be a lion spirit? Are you ready to give an answer? Do you say, well, my church teaches that? You ought to be able to go to the Word of God and tell them what you are you dress in. A man shouldn't put on a garment that belongeth to a woman. Or vice versa. A man should dress like a man. A man should look like a man. Hello? A man should smell like a man. Yes, I use aftershave. I don't use Estee Lauder as a perfume for an aftershave. I used to buy that for my mom. She'd always like me to buy that Estee Lauder. That stuff was pretty pricey. But I bought it for her. My mom liked that. I buy my wife once in a while, like her perfume, certain ones. But I don't go around spraying all my face and all over the place. I like Brut. Amen. I like those manly fragrances. You know? But that's just how it is. But you know, we live in such a broken world. Sometimes, a lot of times, doing right for others gets us punished. Amen. How we act and react, let others watch and let them evaluate how we are in our walk with God. And to really observe if the Lord is in control of our life. Thank God He's in control tonight. And if you don't have God controlling your life, you're out of control. Amen. Needless to say, God uses our experiences and our witness to reach others for His kingdom. Yes, you are a witness to the world. Yes, you are a worker in His kingdom when you obey His word. Amen. Another point I just want to put in here. Too many people want to argue with the devil. Amen. I want you to say this. The devil's better at arguing than you are. Why? He's had thousands of years to practice. Amen. Your best bet is to rebuke the devil. Rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can't bluff Satan with logic or your opinion. That's not going to work. But you can use the weapon that makes him tremble every time, the truth of God's word. He doesn't want to hear the truth of God's word. And another thing, he doesn't want to hear Church of God songs. He doesn't want you to pray on rebuking him. But don't give the devil an ear to listen to him. So don't hesitate in placing the word of God on him. That's why it's important to memorize scriptures. We're all going to be facing temptation. But thank God temptation's not sin. But we can be harassed by the devil. Amen. But I was thinking, a lot of times, Brother Decker brought this so good this morning about serving God is because he said a lot of people are lazy. And that's true. If you're going to have a good salvation plan, you're going to have to work at it. Hello? You're going to have to work at it. When you were out in sin, you worked at being a sinner. Yes, you did. It's no different. When you're a child of God, you got to work at being a child of God. Amen. You got to stand up for what's right. You got to do those things that's going to give you peace and comfort in this walk with God. But the reason so many people don't take care of things in their life is through neglect. Many are not moving forward because they are not taking the time to check out those little things out first to see if they'll drag them down spiritually. It's the little things. It's not through a reasoning session with yourself and saying things like, well, it seems that they're doing this and that and they're getting by. Well, first of all, nobody is getting by. That's a trick of the devil. You can't use that card about people getting by. Just admit it. You're neglecting. You're neglecting. Hebrews 2 and 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? You know, you neglect your automobile, you neglect your home, you neglect your bills, you neglect your companion, and I don't care what it is, when you neglect those things, you're going to face trouble down the road somewhere. Come on now. I guess I'm a type of person, when I see that engine light come on in my car, I can't drive that thing another 20,000 miles without checking it out. I got to find out what's wrong with that car. I see people, they put black tape over it on the dashboard. Now, that's not going to make the light go away. The light's still going to be on whether you put tape on it or not. Right? But my son-in-law always says, oh, something's going on. You'll get that thing checked out. Well, that's just me. I've always been that type of person. I got to find out what's wrong with this vehicle. I don't want to be stuck somewhere out in the middle of a road, out in the middle of nowhere, where I could have had my car checked to find out what was wrong with it. Now, am I going to blame other people because of that? No, I'm going to blame myself because I get to get the car checked out. Amen. But we need to keep track of how we are growing spiritually. Sure, we should be concerned about others, but not tell them what they should do and how to dress and how to adorn themselves. Newborn babes, we are not responsible to go up and tell them how they should dress. Amen. Hello? That's true. You could drive more people away from the house of God by you going up and telling them what they should and should not do. Amen. That is not our responsibility. Amen. That's through the pastor and the preaching of the word and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will direct what they should and should not do. I've seen more people being driven away by people say, well, I'll just go up and tell them what they should do. No, 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 no. Don't you dare do that. I say if those people are truly measuring up to the things of God, he will be faithful and true to their soul. You will have to tell people to take off the rings. You will have to tell people to take out the earrings, the nose rings, every kind of rings you can. You know, that reminds me of the thing that someone said that there's three rings in a marriage out in the world. They say it was the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the suffering. But just don't hear that. I just said that. I just threw that out to you. I guess I'm getting to be like Brother Bergethon in Sunday school class. You never know what Brother Bergethon is going to say in Sunday school class. But the Spirit of God will be measuring to their lives. We just don't let our gardens grow just any old way. If you take the time to prepare the ground, buy the seed, fertilize it, keep all the things in a garden to make it successful, and then you just turn your back and say, well, I don't care, I'm going to let the garden grow any old way. How foolish is that? That's foolish. Well, it's the same thing with the spiritual side. You just can't live your life just any old way. It takes preparation. It takes work. Amen. You start neglecting a literal garden, you're going to have weeds go all over the place. Then you're going to go out there and look for your beans and corn, whatever, and you're going to find weeds instead of beans and corn. And I don't think we want to eat weeds. We're expecting corn and beans. Amen. It's the same on the spiritual side. You've got to work at it. You just can't go any old place you want to. Hang out with your old crowd. When I got saved, I was through with the old crowd. Amen. The Lord gave me new people to hang out with. Come on, the old crowd will bring you down. Hello? Young people, listen. The devil will give you a bill of goods saying, well, if you get saved, you won't have any friends. Well, better off to having those type of friends than anything else. Those types of friends are going to take you down spiritually. Get yourself involved with a new set of friends, and the Lord will give those friends to you. Amen. Amen. Listen to what is said over here and there. A lot of times people in groups will say any old thing. Young people, I know it's very difficult sometimes. But young people need to have their conversations clean. Hello? Come on now. Feelings can get hurt very easily with young people. You know why we have a lot of cyber bullying on the computer? Is because too many people are voicing their opinion on other people. Hello? They'll say things on the computer that they can't say face to face. Come on now. And with young people, it's really burdensome to them. They can't take it. And you read about all the time where people have committed suicide. It's a sad world we're living in, folks. But that's reality. Parents, be careful what your children are doing on the computer. Doesn't hurt to lean over their shoulder sometimes to see what they're getting involved with. Come on now, who they're talking with or to whom. Amen. If you're not talking to them, they're going to be talking to somebody else. You hear about it all the time where these older men get hooked up with these younger girls. And then the girls end up missing. I've never seen a day in which we're living today where there's young people being missing. That's sad. Why? They're not getting the attention at home, so they're licking, searching out here for other attentions. Come on now. We have to live, folks, in complete obedience to Him and measure ourselves to the Word of God. Amen. Listen, if you're claiming to be a true child of God, you're going to have to be one through and through. Away with this surface type of living. You have to be grounded in the things of God. You have to do the walk. Hello? You have to do the talk. Amen. You don't do the walk and the talk just during revivals. You don't just do the walk and the talk during a camp meeting. It's every day that you live for God. And the Lord will instruct you on what you should do. If there's something that you need to put on or put off, even when it comes to being questionable. Husbands, it wouldn't hurt you to let your wife know that what she's putting on might not be good to wear out in public. Hello? Come on now. Get quiet on me and I'll just stay right there. Wives, if your husband's putting on something, you might not look very appropriate or whatever, you should step up and let him know. I don't think you should wear that in public. Are you afraid? Come on now. Parents, you're responsible for those children. Don't let the church always tell how they should dress. You're the parent. Let them know exactly what they should and should not put on. If it's too short, stand up and say, it's too short. Get it below the knee. And make sure it, when you walk, it still stays below the knee when you walk. I'm not the pastor, thank the Lord. That wasn't even in the notes. But if we're going to be Church of God, let's be Church of God. Come on. Let's not just compromise. We want to be the true church of God tonight, don't we? come on. We should give the Lord the doubt, the shadow of the doubt. Let's do it the right way. Come on. Sometimes we go into different times of month, and people are just like a Venetian blind. Up and down it goes. Up, change the outfits, whatever. I want to wear what I want to wear. You should wear what the Lord wants you to wear. And not only what to wear, but how you should wear it. As Brother Decker said, if it's too tight, go to a different size. I hate wearing tight clothes. It just confines me. I can't wear the bigger clothes. I guess I'm going to have to lose weight so I can get it on my other clothes. But it just, you know, I just see some of these kids today where they're wearing these tight clothes and tight jeans and so forth. I'm thinking, how in the world did you get in them? Do you use a pair of pliers on both sides to pull them up? How do you jump into those things? Or then how do you get out of them? Come on now. Child of God, we need to be where we need to be. Seasons come and seasons go. We have a little change of weather. We had some cold weather. See people standing outside of stores, shivering with their parkas up and whatever, smoking a cigarette. How sad is that? How bound are you by that cigarette? To stand outside of a store. I told that to one person one time. I said, don't you wish you didn't have to do that? Stand out here in the cold with a coat on, smoking a cigarette. Well, it's my body. I'll do what I want with it. That's an old statement. Don't you have anything better than that? I'm just trying to give you some advice. But you know, people today in the world don't want to give you advice. They don't want advice. We're living in a rebellious age. People will want to do what they want to do. But I say it's vitally important how we should conduct ourselves. When I was in school, we conducted ourselves the right way, or mom and dad got a phone call from the teacher. I remember one time I was in third grade, and me and the other guy was standing in the back, and we were doing the Pledge of Allegiance. And we were acting up. Little did I know, going by the door was the principal. And she saw us. And she went in there, she says, I want to see you two in my office. Oh boy. My heart started racing. My stomach got queasy. She's going to call my mom and dad. That's the last thing I wanted to do, call my mom. Just give me the cracks now. I don't want to call my mom and dad. Because I know if you give me the cracks there, I'm going to get it again when I get home. She just told me. She gave me a quick history lesson on the Pledge of Allegiance. And that's all I needed. From now on, when we have the Pledge of Allegiance at school, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And I keep thinking to myself, in the 45 years that I've been teaching school, how many times have I given the Pledge of Allegiance? That my mind doesn't go back to that fourth grade class. Thank the Lord for that principal who came and told me what I needed to do. Who knows? I could have gone out and done something even worse. But thank the Lord, there are still people out there who are respectful to the flag. People just say, well, it's Veterans Day. We should be respectful 365 days of the year. For the people who have served our country. Every time I see a gentleman out, usually out in the stores or whatever, he's got these army hats on, Korean warfare. You know what I say? I appreciate your service. It doesn't hurt to do that. It gives them a sense of loyalty, a sense of pride about that they served their country. These people died so we could have the freedoms that we have today. And it disturbs me when I see people desecrating our flag, burning it, doing all this. It just upsets me to no end. But that's the world in which we're living in. Disrespect. But I think it's vitally important how we should conduct ourselves. And we are constantly in a battle with this number one adversary, the devil, and also the person that we look into the mirror every day. And we need to bring it into subjection each and every day because of this flesh that we're battling. The flesh doesn't want to be here tonight. But our spirit wants to be here. And that's more important than this old flesh. Well, the pastor isn't here. I can lay out. God knows. God knows what you're doing. You can't pull the wool over God's eyes. Amen. Romans 8:5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Amen. I'm thankful this evening that the further we go up the road and the closer we get to making heaven our home, it's the spiritual things that we want to come into a clearer view in our lives. It seems like the older I get, the things of this old world doesn't mean that much to me anymore. This world in which we're living is just a dressing room for eternity. How many years do we have left? I don't know. How many years do you have left? You don't know. But if you go to a cemetery, there's all ages on those tombstones. And a majority of those people did not know when they were going to die. They were taken out by an accident, a sickness, a circumstance, drunk driver, whatever. It just makes sense to be ready. To be ready. Getting back to that shooting out in California. What a place to be in. What a place to go out an attorney and be at a dance place. Terrible. Terrible. But these fleshly things that we get ourselves involved with can get ourselves into trouble. They'll take up your time. They'll take up your money. Your finances, get you to skip services. And not only skip services, but skip services on a more frequent basis. All one service won't hurt. Well, one service ends up two services. Three services. See, the devil knows that. He knows you're just not going to quit completely, but he'll get you to do it one or two at a time to cool you off. What am I preaching on? How's your walk with God this evening? And as we prepare to close out the message, let me say, I'm glad I settled the account long ago. I'm glad I didn't get involved with those vile sins like I hear some people say. I'm thankful the Lord protected me from the cigarette habit. I'm thankful that the Lord protected me from the drinking habit. I'm thankful that He protected me from the drug habit. Amen. But don't you think the devil won't come to me and say, oh, how would you know if you didn't like cigarettes if you never tried it? Huh? Yes, he does. But I'm thinking to myself, why would I want to start with an ungodly habit and a dirty habit now and I hadn't done it for 66 years? Why do I want to start drinking now if I haven't started drinking before? Be kind of crazy, wouldn't it? Be kind of silly. That's why, young people, you need to watch. The devil wants to get you at an early age, to have you start at early, getting involved with the sinful habits of this world. And it only takes one cigarette to start a habit. It takes one drink to develop a habit. It takes one use of a drug to develop a habit. You don't wake up one morning and say, oh, today I'm going to be an alcoholic. No, it don't work that way. It has to take with one. And that's why it's vitally important to keep yourself clean and be careful of the company you keep. Get involved with the church activities. Get involved with the young people. Amen. And young people, be nice to one another. Come on now. Let's not say hurtful things that will cause ones to back away, not being where they need to be spiritually. But we're all a family of God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. You go through things, that other person will go through it. Talk about it. Pray about it. Because the devil wants to ruin you at an early age. How's your walk with God? I leave the message with you. I know this was kind of, chopped up, whatever. But I thank the Lord for giving me the thoughts. We need God. We need God. Don't entertain the thought of backing away from God. Get stronger in the things of God each and every day. The Lord would like you to get involved, back off. Get involved, back off. That's not a life. Let's get rooted and grounded in the things of God now. Why we still have our right use of our mind. Be a terrible thing to be taken out and you don't have the right use of your mind. How's your walk with God? I'll leave the message with you. Let us stand, please.